Blog Talk Radio.
Weekly conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. What a wonderful conversation we got this week on the conversation. Obama does it again with executive orders on gun control. Also, if Hillary Clinton said the world was flat, would people believe them? Also, some disturbing news out of the IndyCar series, which, if you got kids, when I get to it, I'll let you know they shouldn't be in the room when they hear this. Also, medical marijuana news. Some good news for legalization on the medical front. Also, people congratulating North Korea. I'll get to that and much, much more. So, welcome to the conversation. I want to kind of start with something kind of funny. I heard a story about this couple that had been married 50 years, and the pastor goes, well, how'd you get to be married 15 years and not have a single argument? And he goes, well, it's kind of simple. You know, we're on the, after we got married, you know, before we went off to the rehearsal and all that, where they have like the dinner and stuff, you know, we had horses, and I got on mine and it went just fine, and my wife's horse really didn't go too far, and it stopped, and she got off, and she goes, that's one. Then got back on the horse and kicked it, and the horse went about a couple steps, and it stopped. She got mad, got off, and she goes, that's two. And next thing you know, she gets back on the horse, she kicks it, it goes just a little bit and stops, and she gets out. That's three, pulls out the gun and pulls the trigger and kills the horse. The husband freaks out and jumps off the horse. He goes, what are you doing? You just can't kill a horse. And she goes, that's one. All right. I want to thank you. And John 8. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his fingers. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her. Again, he stopped, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to walk away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. The woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? No one has condemned you. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and live your life of sin and leave it. Think about that as you're kind of going through your day today. And wow, what a new year's, a new day, and same old Obama. Nothing changed. Nope. I love The View. I love that show because they get told what time it is. I just watch all the highlights, you know. But when you have someone like Ron Paul go on there and basically tell Whoopi Goldberg what time it is, like, well, isn't it a matter of time before a president starts getting on you about things that, you know? Yeah, should we have more background checks? Is it going to keep someone that's going to get guns illegally? Is that going to keep him from getting guns if he's, you know, I mean? No offense, but how long has marijuana and cocaine and all that stuff been highly illegal? Very long time. How hard has it been able to get in this country? Oh, it's been completely banned, so you can't get cocaine. Huh. Give me $100, I can get you a gram, I can get you an 8-ball, whatever you want. But it's illegal. So, the guns are being bought by people and that are doing these mass shootings. They're black market weapons. It's not like I'm gonna sit there and say, okay, I'm gonna go legally buy guns so I can just blow people away. That's not how it works. I'm not saying that no one has ever bought a gun legally and not gone and killed people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that 9 times out of 10, when people buy a gun legally, they use it legally. I mean, seriously, I support background checks on guitars. I mean, you wouldn't want to have Justin Bieber get a hold of a 1959 Gibson Les Paul Sunburst. I mean, I'll look at it like this. This says it all. This sums it all up, folks. It's so strange that Obama didn't call for gun control after Kate Stallings' murder. When she was killed, oh, we got to have a San Francisco is a safe place. If they're an illegal citizen, we need to keep them. Kate Stallings. Oh no, he wasn't crying in her case. It's only when it fits his agenda. I don't teach about this in high school, but do you know that it was a black man that gave falsified information to the British to help us win the Revolutionary War? But they won't tell you that it was black slaves that were selling black slaves in Africa to slave owners to bring them to the US. And the first slave owner in the U.S. was a black man, not a white man. I'm Polish. Should I sit there? And, well, I had ancestors that played dead for 3 days in order to not be killed by Germans. What should I be crying? And I should be owed all this stuff because of what my ancestors went through. No. My ancestors came to this country. Okay, we speak English. What did they do in their house? They might speak Polish or Ukrainian or Slovak, but other than that, you spoke English outside the house. You were ashamed to speak anything else. Now it's like, okay, we're gonna speak Spanish or whatever, and if you don't, or we're not gonna learn English. Sorry. We're gonna go ballistic because you won't learn our, you won't adapt our customs in your country. I'm not going to go to your country and have you adapt to my customs. I'm going to adapt to yours. But that's how it should be. But I mean, in this country, that's the exact opposite. I mean, you can't have an American flag shirt because you're going to offend somebody. I guess I never will get it. I guess that's why I'm a conservative, Wow. But I mean, seriously, they had this on Jimmy Kimmel's show. He went around and he goes, it's amazing if you put a happy spin on it, what you can get people to do. And they got people literally to congratulate North Korea on detonating a hydrogen bomb. And you probably can't do this in college anymore, but when I was in college, you could, if it was a big enough lecture hall, you could sneak in and learn stuff and, go into like a planetary class and learn about the solar system or whatever. And as long as it was big enough, you can probably get away with it. I used to sneak into a chemistry class all the time. And what the chemistry professor would do is they would is like he had two balloons that had hydrogen in them. And if he saw someone falling asleep, he would take the long stick with the match and light the balloon on fire and it would explode. And if you're awake, it would shock. It's like your heart would go about 100 miles an hour. And that wasn't even the people that needed to do it for the people that were sleeping, and he would just start rambling on about some meaningless BS, like, something about the A team or whatever, and or something like, well, and then all of a sudden, then bang, and to wake them up. But I mean, it's not a good thing. A hydrogen bomb is not a good thing. Why would you congratulate anyone on a bomb, period? Well, we found a guy here that doesn't like technology, and he set off, he got a priority mailbox, and he put a bomb inside that got set off and killed 10 people. Let's congratulate that guy. Let's congratulate the Unabomber, everybody. Why not? They're congratulating Kim Jong-un. I mean,
there
seriously.
Oh, my God.
He's my... I mean, seriously. They are... I mean, I read a story where these two kids were fighting over a corn kernel in a piece of cow dung. They were starving. There's free medical care over there because there isn't none. Unless you're one of the few people that are in the privileged area where they have a little radio that you can't turn down that plays North Korean propaganda 24/7. You're, and even the best of the best in there, they're like, they're beyond third world. You don't have a choice. If they say, okay, you're making clothes whether you want to or not. You better learn how to use that sewing machine pretty dang fast because they'll kill you. Oh, but we got to praise them, you know. It goes back to what I wanted to get into. Hillary Clinton can literally say the world is flat, and there'd probably be someone like, yes, yeah, yeah, I mean, that's how distant the people are. People don't want to know anything. Oh, it's politics as usual, not never going to change. Of course nothing's ever going to change. It's kind of like, well, let me see here. If I can go into that cabinet and I can take a cookie and no one notices, I'm just going to keep taking them. And pretty soon you're going to go into your pantry and there's going to be no dang cookies. Where'd they all go? You know, pretty soon, it's only a matter of time until they start taking the freedom that the liberals, wait a minute here. Oh, I supported what they're, well, no, I don't want, what are you taking this from? What are you taking this from? You know, like Ron Paul was saying, he goes, well, what if Obama did an executive order where he's gonna basically, he's gonna control what you say, or you know, like where all the journalists are gonna be like, you know, listened to, and they're gonna, you know, that like, well, I don't believe. But then she tried to play it off at the end, like, well, yeah, I support everything you said. I just don't believe in semi-automatic weapons. I don't. Whatever. It's just ridiculous. It really is, because you know, it starts with freedom. I mean, pretty soon. Well, I mean, what they're doing is they're just going to, if they're not going to pass it, they're going to find a way. They're going to write it in a way that they will pass it. And let's say that there's another attack. It doesn't matter. They're going to find one person that was killed with a gun, and they're going to say, we need to tighten the reins even further. They're not going to, this is just the beginning. This is like phase one, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's make background checks further. Make them, okay, I can see that. But then it's going to be, all it's going to take is one shooting that they can exploit, and then they'll say, we need to make the law harder, make it even more stringent. They're not going to stop. And they're not going to. Pro-gun or not, it's about laws. Okay, who in this country believes that the government should force you to wear a seatbelt? I think you should wear a seatbelt because it can save your life, but I've known people that also, a good friend of mine, died because of wearing her seatbelt. She was half in and half out of the She was stuck half in and half out of the car on her way home from banks, on her way home. It should be my choice if I want to wear a seatbelt. I'm not saying, you know, it should be your choice if you want to smoke cigarettes. They're deadly, you know, they're not safe. It's not like we think they have vitamin C in them or anything. I can't wait to light these things up. I'm going to get some vitamin C and some antioxidants in these things. No, you're going to get some tar, benzyl pyrene. You're going to get all kinds of caustic chemicals. But it should be your right. But you should, yeah. You know, you should, you know, I'm not someone that would ever support not wearing a seatbelt, but you shouldn't be forced to or pay a fine. Because pretty soon it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, they're going to, yeah, you can have a gun, but if you have more than one bullet, we're going to fine you. And I say, okay, well, then give me the fine. Well, then come to collect the fine because you're going to find out what the fine cost you. You better be bringing the National Guard. But, you know, that's how it is in this country. You know, that's because you got people that, you know, that, like, again, they look at Hillary Clinton and they'll believe in it because they don't follow. They don't care. I mean, look at Detroit. Detroit is a cesspool. Excuse my French, but it is. It's, and what is it? It's unionized, democratic. Like in Chicago, this one guy goes, show me a white Tea Party person. You ain't going to find no white Tea Party. It's all black Democrats. And look at it. It ain't. And that's where we're at. And we, you know, like I always tell you, if you want to vote for Hillary, go right ahead. Just know what she stands for. You know, like when she was asked, what's the difference between a Democrat and socialist? She wouldn't answer the question. She's like, well, I'm about getting stuff done. Well, what does that mean, getting stuff done? Does that mean, like, taking away your freedom? You know, I'm going to work with people to ensure that we take away Americans' freedom. Well, that's getting stuff done. She didn't say that, you know, I'm going to work with people to ensure that we go back to a constitutional-based government where the government relies on the people, not one dictator. That's what we have. What did Barack Obama say that one time? I got a pencil, a pen, I got a piece of paper. I don't need any of you. And they were clapping. They were cheering them on, like, yay. It's kind of like these people wanting $15 an hour at McDonald's, and McDonald's is introducing a computer screen that you can order. And the cooks will handle anything. You know, if your boss comes in and says, look at this, we got these new robots that are going to do the painting for you, would you be cheering them on? No, you'd be saying, hey, I'm going to show you how I can do it even better. You'd be doing anything you could to save your job. They were cheering on Barack Obama when he said that he didn't need any one of them. And half of the people cheering were Democrats because were they really paying attention to what he was saying? But it shows where our country is going when people are like, oh, well, yeah. And then it was kind of like a joke, but it turned out to be like a real thing when they found people that literally, well, it's like Waters World. When they sit there and they'll go around and they'll get people to sign a petition that basically eliminates all their freedom. And they don't. But like with this major budget bill that they passed recently, there is some good news for someone like me, somewhat. I'm in a very, very, very conservative state. Yes, I know Indiana is, but you know, if you live in California or Oregon or any place that has medical marijuana, they cannot actually come after you now. If you're legitimately going by the books, if you're breaking the rules, then yes, you need to be. They need to say, hey, this is, they don't need to, they need to sit there and say, hey, this is, you know, this is what's going on. You're break, this is what you have to do, you know, a fine or whatever, you know, but they legally can technically not come after you, you know, which I think is good, but then we don't have, but it's only for places, because some people are going up and down. I'm like, well, it's only if you have medical marijuana in your state. So if you have it, if you don't, then you're just like you always were. But I think it is, like, I want to say Montana, where they have medical marijuana, but you have to have every single solitary prescription. Okay, I have muscle issues. I have pain. I have basically like a muscular dystrophy, like a myopathy, and I deal with pain every day. And they okay, well, if one pain medication will work for me, then I couldn't use medical cannabis. It's not like, well, I want to see if I can use that. No, you have to try everything, and when every option does not work, if every glaucoma medication doesn't work, then you can try the cannabis. You know, so it's like very, it's like, well, what if I want to see if I can try that instead, you know? That's why I use CBD oil. Because it doesn't mess you up and it helps. It's not it doesn't get rid of one, it makes it, for me, it makes the pain tolerable. It makes me, you know, it makes it to where it's, those are pain so much to where, yeah, I'm not, you know, But I guess, like I always tell people, I'm like, I'm so used to it that, like, if you were my buddy, like, how do you get out of bed every day? I just do. I mean, you know, one of my doctors actually uses me as an example. He can't mention my name, but he's like, you know, if anyone has, you know, has issues, he goes, well, I got a patient, and this is what's going on, and and you know, he even looks at me as an inspiration, because he's like, you know, I'd have probably just said, hey, guys, he'd have given up. And I'm like, I just don't do that. And I can't give up since I didn't win the Powerball last night. But then no one did. And I guess someone at work, I guess they put like $5 in, and they were going to split it five ways or whatever, a bunch of them. And he wanted to play his numbers. And I'm like, no, just do quick pick. And I guess he matched like he got like four numbers that he picked were four of them. And he would have won like $1,000, I think. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I guess my point is the reason why you do it all in one ticket. That way you, or what you say is before the drawing happens, you go, okay, these are the ones that were from the quick picks. This is mine that wasn't a quick, because they knew his numbers. So if he wrote down his numbers and played them separately, he should have just done it, because either way, you know, he would have, it's not, because some people, I guess, have done that, and why bought these separately, and because somebody went and some, like one of the sets of numbers, there's like a winner, and, you know, and they went like, and he tried to claim, oh, I bought this separately with my money. I'm like, no, that's why you keep them separate. And you say, okay, these are the ones that I bought separately, just so you know that now, so you can't claim later if any of mine are winning numbers that, hey, wait a minute, you know. And they say that they don't really recommend that, because you should get an attorney and all this, because someone could say, well, no, but you know, there's all kinds of legality bull crap. But you know, oh, but you know, so I gotta work. I mean, not that I don't like to work. I mean, someone's got to pay for all the stuff that the liberals get for free. That's just what we do, you know. But I mean, I think we're going in the right direction with the medical cannabis. I think it's in within 5 years. I think it'll be pretty close to where I could use it, you know. But then you run into the situation where, okay, yeah, it may be legal, but, you know, like, well, we don't recognize it, and if you use it, you can't work here, and that's what you would run into is, you know, just like, because I guess some places, like, that's why I don't say what I use or whatever. Like, when I was on pain meds, I didn't tell people, because I don't want them to say, well, can you work with that stuff? We want to have documentation, but, you know, I don't want to deal with that because, you know. Yeah, I know, if I can, I don't need anyone's approval, you know. Enough said on that, because I just, I mean, screw the medical side of it. It can just, I mean, the stuff it can do across the board for fiber and fuel and paper and ethanol and all that. Well, if you haven't heard this, this is coming out of the Blaze TV, that the actual Pentagon is reporting that the Democratic Party is asking for dirt on the GOP/Republicans. And, I mean, really? I mean, like, does that not surprise you? But then again, I mean, when you really look at it and you sit there and you go, okay, well, folks, this is, it's politics as usual, you know? I mean, it's, how is that solving anything, you know? Really, it's not really going to solve anything because, you know, I mean, because when you look into it and there's things that happen. Oh, I know. They do. I mean, oh, but, you know, like Bernie Sanders says, you know, I'm tired of the damn emails. Well, then put her in jail already. I mean, the Republican National Committee is actually looking at impeaching Obama, and like, it's about time, because if he was a right Republican, he'd have been impeached years ago. Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten a second term. That's the irony of the situation, when you have a Democrat that can get away with something that a Republican can never get away with. And if a Democrat shouldn't get away with it, then a Republican shouldn't either. Two wrongs don't make a right. I guess I try to look at myself as a no-spin zone. I try to be like a Bill O'Reilly. I just try to call it like I see it. If you like it, great. If you don't, you don't. You know, when Bill O'Reilly looked it up, they had proof that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. He was case closed. And that's, you know, that's how you, I mean, why do Democrats get a pass and a Republican doesn't for the same thing? Because this is not hardball, this is softball, because I'm a chef. Yes. But it's just one of those things that just frustrates me when I loved what Ron Paul did on The View when he was trying to get them to realize, well, what if they tried to come up with, what if he did something that goes after something you care about? I mean, that's why I like the NRA, because at least in the NRA, compared to Planned Parenthood, at least everyone that walks into the NRA comes out alive. Not everyone that goes into Planned Parenthood comes out alive. And that's why I love Indiana, because they are passing and they have filed bills in the legislature, in the House of Indiana, the House of Representatives in Indiana, to lessen, to make it easier to get guns. See, in Indiana, we have a carry permit. It's not a, because in some states you have to have a, if they even have carry permits at all, some have where, okay, you have to have two permits, one for open and one for conceal. And if you just want to conceal, then you got one. And if you want to open, and, you know, we just have a permit and I can open carry or conceal and carry. And a lot of things I've read, a lot of people do not want to, don't like open carry just because some liberal gets a little feather up their hiney, then they're going to sit there and try to find anything to, and then they're going to try to get, you know, I want to get a police officer, I don't feel safe, really, to try to, maybe they can find something that you're doing wrong so they can get you. I've been in Michigan, I've been in Indiana, and I've seen people with an open carry, and I'm like, what do you got? And I got my Beretta right here. Cool. Right on. And you got a 45? Oh, that's a Colt? Nice. Awesome, you know. And if I didn't have my gun, I'd feel safe around that guy, because he, like me, you go to the range. You practice. We're not just idiots. You know, I pray to God I only have to shoot at targets downrange. I honestly couldn't tell you what I'd do if I had to be confronted and had to actually shoot someone in order to save my life. I don't know what I'd do, because I guess instinct would just kick in, I guess. But it's not a joke. The Second Amendment's not a joke, just like the First Amendment's not a joke. But, you know, hey. I just can't wait until there's something that the liberals hold dear that gets taken from them. I'm just so glad that I live at least in a state that most of the policemen here would be like, oh, I would, if they ever tried to ban guns, I wouldn't enforce it. You know, as long as you're following and you're not like a psychopath, you know, you treat a cop with respect, they'll treat you with respect. You know, and that's what I've come to find out, you know, and that's, you know, there's a post, and I'm going to see if I can find this, and it's like, what was it? It was like imagine if 7 billion people, yeah, imagine if 7 billion humans could accomplish if they all got along and loved each other and respected each other. And that's, you know, nope. Because even in a 100% is, you know, Islamic state, you know, where they have Sharia law and everything, if you're not Muslim enough, they kill you. And, well, Gary Johnson, I don't know if you heard this, but he's actually put his hat in and he's going to run under the Libertarian Party. And for me, I just think he would. I support the guy. I think he'd be a great guy, but he's just going to take away from votes that would normally go to a Republican. So he would just help get a Democrat in the White House. Him going Libertarian wouldn't help anything. And I heard this kind of a thing from Biden where now he wishes he would have ran for president. Why he didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I read an article the other day where he's kind of like regrets his decision to.
I wondered if he would.
And I wondered if there was a lot of, like, you know, hey, we want to get, like, where we want to, and Hillary Clinton's a guarantee in the White House. So that's why, you know, and I really think that, you know, that's, there might have been some politics involved. And now I think he wish he would have just said, screw it, I'm gonna go in, and if I, you know, because it's rare for a vice president not to run.
There's only been one time, and that was King.
Yep. Yep. And this is where we're going, because this is something, as I move on, any of you that are friends of HickOK45's, one of his fans, he's an expert in firearms. He's someone that when you watch him, because I was going to get this old, like, Russian rifle, and I asked Don, a good friend of mine, Don Tunier, what he thought of it, and he goes, this guy recommended it. He goes, let me see the guy. And when I sent him the clip, he goes, oh, yeah, that guy's legit. Yeah, if he recommends it, yeah. He goes, I would help you clean it out and do all this stuff. And he's like the Dale Senior of firearms. And he is one of the most, if not the most popular gun channel on YouTube, and he was shut down. I just posted a video of his where he took, like, a, I guess if you attach to the end of a gun barrel, like a oil filter, oil can filter, it can make a great silencer. And he had, like, a really big, like, almost like an AR-15 that shoots one round at a time, that type of high-powered rifle. And all you hear is, ding, and you hear it hit the target downrange. Ching. And you just hear, like, him barely, you can barely hear the sound of the pulling the trigger, and then downrange a ding when he hits the target. Hmm?
Who shut him down?
Well, YouTube. I don't know why, or why they haven't really, they're investigating why he's being shut down, and I guarantee you there's going to be, he's going to come back, because, I mean, so it's freedom of speech right there, whether you support guns or not. Because it's only a matter of time. Well, I'd love to see a day when, like, an MSNBC person would be taken off the air. I mean, like, a thing like that be taken off the air for that. But it's just, you know, like it said, we didn't need kings in 1776. And we don't need lobbyists in 2005. We're Americans and we'll run our own country. And that's what we need to start doing. We need to start standing up. We need to have people that are educated instead of these kids that, like, oh, I think Kim Jong-un did a great thing. I can't wait to see the nuclear test they do. That's going to be great. I wonder if they're going to hit our country. No, they're not. They're not. You know, I mean, because someone asked me if I actually watched the Obama press conference. I'm like, dude, I feel great. I don't want to have to go to the bathroom and throw up. You know, those fake tears. Well, where were you when Kate Stalin was killed by an illegal immigrant?
Benghazi.
Or Benghazi. No, what we have here, folks, it was a cartoon making fun of, no, it was no cartoon. You know, I will say this, we do have hope. What was in the movie theaters, the number one movie at the time? War Room. Go on iTunes. The top album on there that is standing right next to Aldean, A-D-E-L, and Justin Bieber is the live album from A Wonderful, Wonderful Thing. There is a, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I've had several people have gone to Passion, and they have like anywhere from like Toby Mac to David Crowder Band to David Crowder now to Third Day, and they do all kinds of Christian music, and you can go and they'll, okay, over here, we're going to have like a Bible study for men, and we're going to have this, and if you're having financial trouble, there's, we're going to have like biblical people over there doing that and health, and it's a huge Christian weekend, and that album of live songs from that weekend is very, very high and has landed right behind like Justin Bieber, some of these very popular artists. That's how big that shows you, you know, God's coming back, and it's just awesome. It's just cool to see that, you know, to see that you can take somebody, you know, like that, and just like, you know, when you think of all these like high end people and all these like popular music people, and then you sit there and you say, oh, look, that compilation Christian music from The Passion is right up there. I love it. Makes my day. It just makes my day, you know. But then, I mean, like, when you look at InfoWars, how many people he's getting followers now? Because people are starting to realize, hey, he's not as big of a kook, that he a lot of what he's saying is, you know, somewhat true. And it's just great to see that, you know, people are starting to wake up and starting to follow, you know, The Blaze and different things and InfoWars and all these, you know, and getting alternative news and getting, you know, people listening to me and just, you know, and just saying, hey, wow, that's amazing that, you know, that we're, because people are starting to, like I say, you know, I watch, like when the parachutings happened, I spent like 40 minutes to an hour watching MSNBC because I wanted to see what's their spin on it? What are they saying? Because this is a country that has very, 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 very strict gun laws. And that still happens. So you can't sit there and say, well, since we had a shooting recently, I think we need to take this executive order to Obama, then we need to make it even stricter. Because they're always going to find a way to take a basic law and constrict it to the point to where, okay, because I think in France, party blowers that you blow into and it goes, makes it, and then the piece of paper rolls out and comes back, you have to be 13 technically to use those in the EU and the European Union, because if it comes back and it could go into your mouth and, you know.
Seriously?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and that may not seem like much that, okay, we're going to, but then pretty soon they're going to start passing laws that affect you. You know, because it's, well, yeah, I think you should wear a seatbelt, but do you think you should get a $25 fine for wearing your seatbelt or a $50 fine? And then before you know it, it gets to the point where they just, well, if they can get away with these simple laws, then they'll start tacking stuff. I mean, these bills are huge. How do we know what's in these things that they pass? They don't even read them. I mean, I guarantee you, every person in this listening audience out there, I guarantee you somebody at some point has broken a law and didn't even realize it, because it's probably in a book of, okay, here was 20,000 pages and this bill was passed, and in it, you violated one, but you didn't even realize it. I mean, I think in Kentucky, technically, you can't have an ice cream cone in your back pocket because it was a way to lure horses away back in the day. You know what I mean? Like my sis, my wife, she's from West Virginia, and there you can, you know, hey, you know, there's things I'd love to tell you about my marriage, but I'm not allowed. It's one of the rules. You know, see, my wife, see, like in most of the United States, they have, you know, farmers only, but in Kentucky and West Virginia, they have cousins only. Huh. You know, you don't have to wait for a family reunion at CousinsOnly.com. You can find your cousin right now. But yeah. And I've never been one to do these like resolutions. I suck now, so why would I change? You know, I'm not. Well, I do have a New Year's resolution. I could actually go gluten free completely, because but that's not really a resolution. It's something I have to do. But I've never been into those people like, well, I'm gonna get in shape. Really? I mean, you sound like those people that sit there drunk off their ass at 2 a.m. and like have crumbs over there. I think I'm gonna get that bicycle thing and get myself into shape. And they're taking all the pretzel crumbs off their shirt and. But you think about it, though. I mean, what do they do with Michelob Ultra Light? They don't promote people partying. They promote people that just got done with a marathon. Here you go, have a Michelob Ultra Light. Or whatever the beer is. And for all you who wondered, this day in dead history, on 1/7/79, the Grateful Dead played their first show at Madison Square Garden. Just hard to believe. I'm actually going to try to get my... I actually wrote an email because I'm trying to find out, because on Sirius XM, they have a Grateful Dead channel, and every so often, I think it's like once a day, they do headset where they have a fan play like an hour's worth of Dead music, and one guy did like a bunch of cover tunes and some shows he was at and different things. I want to try to get on there and do a headset, and my wife's like, well, what would you play? I'm like, well, just probably from shows I was at, or like, you know, because to me, I guess, I don't understand the music today, but the music, mm-hmm. like the Dead that I grew up on, it had meaning. You could hear, you know, it's like a lot of Rush's music, one of my other favorite bands. You listen to the song, and you can relate to it, because it made sense, you know, and a lot of the Grateful Dead tunes, you know. Like Touch of Grey, or, you know, Sugar Magnolia, or whatever. You could relate to it, even if it was a cover of a Bob Dylan tune, which I love Bob Dylan. But, you know, it's just, I guess there'll never be a band like them, you know, and it's just, I think it's not about the music anymore. It's like publicity. How can we, because I bet you can make a lot of money if, you know, you have an artist that gets on stage and you know, somebody rips off their pants and they have nothing on, no underwear. I'm sure they could probably make 10 times the money just on the publicity, the fact that he, you know, get him on talk shows and this and that. You know, and he goes, oh, yeah, I go commando. I don't actually own underwear or whatever, you know. You know, it's not about the music anymore, and that's sad. You know, but... You know, that's, you know, because music is a big part of me. And my wife, for Christmas, got me a metal detector. And I went out and just to see if it worked, and I took some of my silver coins and stuff. And, yeah, it reads. But it was, I got a couple hits. I went back in the woods, like where my parents live, and got some hits. But it's ground's frozen, so I only dug in one spot. And it was a weak signal, and I found some small, like, metal fragments, but nothing, you know, it's just so, I mean, if it was warmer, hopefully when it gets to be morel season, I'll see if, so let's go out and let's go, hopefully I'll have one at the time, and if not, I'll buy him one. Okay, we're going to go mushroom hunting and metal detecting at the same time. Too bad they don't have, like, a mushroom detector, because, like, I know, because I have a bunch of people that, well, you got one. Well, I have one. And he goes, but most of the things I look for are like arrowheads and stuff that wouldn't be metallic, you know, like clay pots and stuff like that, you know, artifact type things. And I'm like a lot of people said, your wife's going to love you because you're just going to want to do it. And she goes, you're going to have one of my friends goes, yeah, you're going to have a lot of one-way trips. You're going to go there and then hopefully you can metal detect your way back. Hopefully you can find enough. Okay, well. Now, we ain't got a plane ticket, and we got 2 more days left in the hotel room, and we haven't found nothing. Okay, she's like, Mo's like, that won't never happen. But, you know, hey, I mean, it's, you know, it's, it's the thought that counts. It's something I've always wanted, and it's kind of really cool. And that was a, I mean, it was a, we didn't do much for New Year's. We just kind of stayed at home. I've actually found Asti Spumante, something she actually drinks champagne-wise. It's a sparkling wine from Italy, and I've actually been in their cellars where they do the riddling and everything, and it's cool. And it's kind of cool that she likes that because it's cheap. It's not like...
Yeah, when it comes to that, if I'm a cheap date.
Yeah, she is. She said, I just want you to know, she said she's a cheap date, not me, but I mean, but I would... Because I had one friend, he goes, yeah, I finally found the wine my wife likes, but it's like $60. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I just, but it's all good, you know. Different strokes for different folks. And now I want to kind of move on a little bit to some semi-tragic news. And this is the part of the show where if you got kids, they don't really need to be hearing this. This is something that... I already told Paul I'm going to burn anything I have of his because I'm pretty sure I have some autographs somewhere. But I don't know if anybody has ever heard of John Herb. He's a 45-year-old from Naples, Florida. He did 16 starts in the Indy Racing League from 2000 to 2007. He was only in the 500 twice. In 2001, he finished 27th, and in 2007, he finished 32nd. But his estranged wife found on his computer 243 pictures and three videos of him having sexual relations with a four-year-old girl. And he was arrested in 2013, and he was just arraigned a couple days ago. He pleaded no contest, and he got 25 years. Which I don't think it'll last that long because if they find out what he did in prison, they'll kill him. Because that's, I mean, even though he may be a robber or drug dealer or whatever, he's probably got a kid and they're outraged by stuff like that. And it's just really shocking. And that's why usually people like that, they put them in a segregated area so that they won't be killed. But it's just tragic news because, I mean, they... Yeah, because we never want to hear about that, anything like that. Yeah. But then, I mean, supposedly I read a post where there's a bunch of people that said that there were some, I guess some of the people that claim that they claim that Cosby did what he did. Now they're coming out that, oh, no, they're recounting their story and all this. So who knows? Like I told someone, I said, I'll tell you, like I'll call it like I see it. Let the courts decide. You know, when I guess I don't understand this, I can give you my opinion, but it's an opinion. If he did it or he didn't do it, that's between him and God, and let the courts handle it. If there's enough evidence to prove that he did what he did, then okay, he's guilty. If not, you know, what if cops say all the time? All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, not MSNBC or Fox News. You know. But it's just heart. Like I told Paul at work, I said, you know, when I find one of his pieces of paper that has his autograph on, that's getting burned. But that's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I never will. And some people that didn't know thought that South Park episode with NAMBLA was like a made-up thing, but NAMBLA was actually real. And it was based off the old Greek and Roman philosophy that a rite of passage into manhood was to have sexual relations with an older male, a young. And that's what they went off of. And, you know, and they got shut down through thanks to John Walsh and his efforts got that thing shut down. Thank you, John Walsh. Amen. I love that guy so much because he is such an advocate for things. And enough about that. Now, if you want to bring the kids back into the room, go ahead and bring them back in. As many of you know, I have been a staunch supporter. And I still support Louis van Gaal with Manchester United. I still do. I think give him a chance. I mean, I guess, when you take someone like Sir Alex Ferguson said it best, we've had a disease for so long winning. And yeah, they won so much, and they were okay. We haven't won in how many? We haven't. No one scored a goal at Old Trafford in how long? How many games? Like 60 games since someone, and now we're back to like a team. It's like this one lady from, I was talking to a lady online from Newcastle United, and she goes, "You're starting to experience what we've experienced. You're a team now. You're not like the superpower that's winning every game." And I'm like, I'll support them win, lose, or draw. If we're 12th place in the league, I'll still support them. I'll still put on my shirt. Yes, we won 2-1 against Swansea City, and I was happy. But I'm like, I'm kind of frustrated when we lose, but I'm still watching the game. I'm still there till the end, I'm still playing on my phone the Glory, Glory, Man United song. I still support them. Until they decide, okay, hey, and if they were to get, and I hope they keep him long enough. I hope he stays and continues the team in the right direction until they get, until he decides to leave to be there for his family. And at that time, I hope that we take and Ryan Giggs gets the nod and gets the chance because he deserves it. And, and he'll have time under David Moyes, he'll have time under Van Gaal. And I think he would do a great, tremendous job for the team. He's been there. He knows. It would be. If he doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. At least you gave him the opportunity. I'm not saying that. Oh, he's just going to come in and, Alex Ferguson didn't just come off the gate running and won every game for us. He didn't do it. But he was one of those people that like, okay, yeah, we won the Champions League. 30 minutes, an hour later, he's already concerned about, well, we're playing, and we're playing Chelsea in the champ, next week in the Premier League. And, who am I going to have, what? Because that's when one thing he always did was, it didn't matter if they're up 4-0. Okay, what mistakes were we making? How can we improve? Because so many teams, okay, yeah, we're up 4-0. Yeah, we can just chill and just relax and, no, because when you let down your guard, that's when they say, okay, hey, we're going to up our guard, and that's when they win it. I don't want to see him. If they lost like 3 more games in a row, then I would say, okay, yeah, then we need to look at something. But, give the man a shot. I've supported him, and I always will. He's a Dutchman. I got Dutch in me, so there you go. That's how it is. My wife just told me, she goes, when you're Dutch, you don't pay much. Well, that's why Jews don't have Santa Claus come to their house on Christmas, because they put a parking meter on the roof. Mm-hmm. But, it's so different. I tell people, anyone can fill, Beavers. Anyone can go to Happy Valley when Penn State is on top. Fill that stadium when they're not doing well at all. Anyone can fill Ross Aid Stadium when they're great. Fill it when they're down. Be there when they're nothing. That is the fan. You go to Crystal Palace, that place will be damn near packed every game, no matter how good or bad they are. Because you're there for the team, you're there for the camaraderie. They're cheering the whole time. I took my wife to see her first football game, and they took on PSV. We lost, had a blast. I got to be right underneath the box that had Sir Alex Ferguson in it. I'm like, yeah, I got a couple of pictures. It was cool. But that's just one of those things, I guess it's different over there because they pack those stadiums day in, day out when they have teams. It don't matter how it's because it, you know, to me it's about the excitement of the game and being there and just, you know, just cheering on and it doesn't matter. You know, win, lose, or draw, I support Manchester United, always have, always will. They were just, someone asked me, well, how did you get into them? Like, well, they were the one team that I could follow on a consistent basis back when it was hard to watch English football. And the one thing that would be hard about getting football big in this country is in Europe, like in England, you'll go and follow your team. You know, you'll go from Old Trafford, you'll go to the different stadiums, and you can do that where it's pretty hard. I mean, not many people. I mean, it'd be hard for me to say, okay, I'm going to go out and see my New York Red Bulls take on the LA Galaxy in LA. It's kind of hard for me, but the only advantage I do have is I can go up to Chicago and see them take on the Chicago Fire, which I might have to take my wife up to do that. Those are good games. Never seen them win. Because they always lose against the Chicago Fire until recently. No, this is in a different stadium. That's where the Chicago Fire, if you don't know, they used to play in Soldiers Field until they got their own Toyota Park. So, yeah. Well, Sir Alex Ferguson kind of feels like I do, that football's come around this country. And I'll never be like it is in Europe and in Brazil, but it's cool. I'm glad. I mean, to each his own. You know.
Oh, our football will never be that big over
there. Oh yeah, our American football will never be, because I like it because it doesn't stop. There's no like, you know, they just continue. Okay, and then okay, if someone gets hurt, then they add time on at the end. Wow, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I got about a minute left in the program, about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the program, and you know, I just. Is it April yet? Are my Tigers warming up yet? I can't wait for baseball season. But, you know, it's amazing because I'll be 41, hard to believe. Because I look at 90 seconds and, you know, I'm sitting there and I look at photos. I'm like, I was like 12 when my dad was my age now. And it's just, I guess it's hard for me to realize I'm like this old. Or this young or whatever, you know. But it's a new year and new possibilities and hopefully some real change in this country. And that's what I hope to do with this. I hope to get people to at least look into things and just say, okay, hey, you know, I don't want to be that moron that's congratulating North Korea. Someone should be saying, hey, wait a minute here. You realize who North Korea is, you know, wake people up. You know, I mean, that's the world we have. You know, that people are that. But then, like on Jon Stewart's show, there was a guy that was said he was interviewed forever and ever, and then they edited it to get their point across that, like, a minimum wage increases are a good thing, and that the fact that he tried to prove that they're not, they edit it so he looks for Pat. Yeah. You know, that's what I try to do on this show. A lot of it's my opinion, but I try to tell it like I see it and let you see both sides of the story. Until next week, God bless you all and good night. Goodbye.